I liked all the texts. Typically every week they all kind of intertwine with each other. But as I was putting the sermon together for this week, I couldn't help but see how, you know, the Old Testament looks back on the past and brings the people to that present time when Isaiah's writing. And Paul's kind of looking at what's going on right now in his world and showing people what's coming in the future. But they all focus, that one central theme really hinges upon that there is only one God. And for you or any of us to be anxious about what's going on in the world around us, we simply need to look at these texts that allow us also to look backwards, look at our present time, and look in hope to the future. Isaiah writes a note. I mean, the people are being held in bondage, and they're sitting around saying, I mean, can things really get any worse? Has that battle cry really changed? I mean, I heard it this morning. I hear it every day. Boy, things are just horrible. And they are. There's some bad stuff going on around the world. Don't get me wrong. But it's been like that since the fall. Since the fall, things have been pretty rotten. Isaiah told them, you have nothing to fear. It looks bad, but God is in complete control. Isaiah wrote, I am the first and the last. This is God talking. Apart from me, there's no other God. Yeah, well, they're looking around at what's going on. There's obviously people worshiping other things. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what's happened since I've established my people and what is yet to come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You're my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No. Emphatically, no. There is no other God. In other words, things look pretty bad around you, but I'm in control. God says, stick with me. Don't go on. And I've foretold everything. There's nothing new under the sun. Solomon was given abundant wisdom. He was just an absolute master at thinking things through. Now, don't get me wrong, he made some huge mistakes. But the conclusion he came to of all of the horses and chariots and women, if we're going to be honest, he had his share of spots, right? Of all that he had, of riches, of castles and kingdoms, he came to the conclusion that it's all meaningless. All these things I've tried to pile up, in the end, they do nothing for me. It's all God. Nothing new under the sun. Paul looks at the present day situation, the sufferings. Paul went through some serious sufferings. He had things that were out of the control of people, shipwrecks and such. He had people who were trying to do him harm. He was thrown in jail. And yet he said, all of this compares not at all to the hope I have in what's to come. We're just going through the childbirth pains. I can't give you a good illustration on childbirthing pains because I have never, ever had them. But I can tell by the look on my wife's face that they're not necessarily comfortable. Am I far off in that estimate there? No. And that's even with the medicine that was provided. Before the great new birth, before that great time that lies ahead, we're told there will be sufferings. Paul points it out. But there's something better coming. God has promised us better things. And he yearned for those better things. I can't wait until it happens. We should follow in that example and listen to the promises of God. So what about the present day? Things going to be wonderful for us? It doesn't seem like that's quite in the cards. Jesus tells a parable. He went out and sowed good seed, and the evil one sowed bad seed. and weeds grew up. Anyone here who has planted a garden, especially if you like leaf lettuce, knows that once the weeds start coming up with the leaf lettuce, you can't pull the weeds. You just got to let them be. Otherwise, you pull up the lettuce along with it. And we sit there, we go up to our garden and we look, and I've got grass this tall coming up from the leaf lettuce. You just have to wait until it's time for the harvest. And at that time, it's safe to pick it out. Jesus says, and so it is with our present day. Not everyone is going to be following him. There's evil because there's an evil sower. You'll find good people among the bad, and vice versa, bad people among the good. But in the end, God says, I will take care of things. During the harvest, I'll take the weeds out. Don't worry about them. Focus on the future hope. So that was kind of where I focused my sermon. I mean, that was my cemetery walk, and I put it all together. But I think there's more to today's lesson. Because as you get up from here and leave, you're going to say, okay, we got to believe in God. That's the focus. That's the point. It is. But I don't want you to walk out of here saying, which God? Isaiah wrote, those people were believing in other things, and God said, no, it's me. I'm the one you focus on. All around us, we have people believing in everything and anything. People believe in nature. People believe in Islam. People believe in New Age. Let's just stare at some rocks and some crystals, and if we have really, really good thoughts, some good things will happen to me. There's Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism. Tons of isms. There's Wiccan, Satanists. You're going to be bombarded by a plethora of things. And the new one that's coming in, it really doesn't matter what you call it, because they all kind of point to the same thing. What would Isaiah write? Isaiah would write that God, through divine inspiration, said there is only one God. And that is the God of the Christians. Only one. How do you know? It's because of our evidence. If there's anything you leave with today, I want you to be able to walk out of here and say, I know the God I believe in is the one true God. And everything else that you hear out there when people are trying to say, oh, well, we can believe in this, that, or the other thing, is wrong. We have a unique religion, and you may not realize how unique it is. During Abraham's time, pantheism, the belief in lots and lots and lots of different gods. There's God for sun, God for the moon, God for the harvest, God for trees, God for rocks, God for water. And Abraham was called to leave his town, and God was only one, a monotheistic, single deity. It was unique, it was unheard of, and Abraham believed. It's very unique in the world. Outside of that, look at all these other so-called movements. I don't like calling them religions because in my eyes there's only one religion. But look at these other movements. You got to go door to door. You got to sign people up. You got to get their money. Don't forget to get their money. Do good things as much as you can possibly do, because you never know if you've done enough good stuff. You will always fall short of those movements. It's never good enough. It's never enough money. It's never enough riches that you've given away. It's never enough that you've completely given away. The Christian God says it's not about what you do, it's about what I've done for you. It's different, it's unique. Paul writes in Galatians, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man has made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. The Christian religion has completely changed people's lives. We've read for how many months about the disciples? Disciples running away when bad things happen. Disciples not understanding. Disciples saying, I'm not with that man. And yet, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, their lives completely changed. When Peter was sentenced to crucifixion, he said, don't crucify me like my Savior. I want to be upside down because I'm not worthy of dying the same death as him. We have an infallible, inerrant love letter that has been written and to this day is still the best-selling book. Billions of copies of the Bible have been sold and given away. That book is not a book as normally people would think of it. It was written by over 40 different authors, 40 different people. Over 1,500 years at least, wrote and contributed to this one book we call the Holy Scriptures. 66 smaller books make up our Bible. And within those 66 books written by those 40 authors over 1,500 years plus, there's not one contradiction. The archaeology, the history has been proven again and again. People who follow those other so-called books have been updated and written again and changed because they've been found to contain errors. The Christian Bible is not that way. Three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, all come together by all these different authors, and they all say the same thing. The Old Testament points to the one who is to come. There were people waiting at the incarnation saying, are you the one I've been reading about? Are you the one that I've been waiting my life for? People were in the temple area praying. And when Jesus came with his mother and father, they said, is this the one? Because you know what? I can die now if I've seen him. There's nothing more to wait for. The prophecies written in the Holy Scriptures have come true time and time again. And the whole New Testament points back on people's lives who have changed, saying, this is it. This is the one that you were waiting for. This is God, the one, the true. And we have a God who is able to take our biggest fear and completely destroy it. Throughout mankind, throughout all the times we've been on this earth, what is the one thing that scares people the most? Death. And Jesus willingly said, take me. And after 3 days, came back and said, the bondage of death cannot stop me. And he rose again to be with his Father. There is no other God who did that. Isaiah wrote, I am the first and the last, and apart from me there is no other God. The evidence of God is self-evident. You look at any kid, they know their mother's voice and their father's voice instinctively. A young baby that cries when it first comes out of the womb, and they give it to mom, and mom holds it, and that baby is so happy. It knows its mother's voice. An observer who looks at a watch. Have you ever looked at a watch? Look at my pocket watch sometime. I know it's old and antiquated and outdated. There's gears that are turning and they're precise. This never loses a second as long as I keep it wound. It keeps going and those gears turn each other and move the second hand and the minute hand and the hour hand. For days and days and days, it doesn't lose a fraction of time. Do you think this happened by chance? Do you think magically someone took a box of gears, threw them in the air when they landed? They just happened to all work together. Creation is self-evident that there is a creator. And any person who has been saved in life gives thanks to the person who gave themselves to save them. There are people who have been in war. I've heard you talk of different war movies you've seen recently. I've seen a lot in my lifetime. There have been people who are near drowning and they were saved, and they have maintained that relationship with the person who saved them for the rest of their lives. And they thank him and say, without you, I wouldn't be here today. They don't lose that special bond. That's the bond we have with Jesus Christ. He has given his life for us and saved us. And we should be thankful for that on a daily, if not hourly, basis. Undeservedly, you've saved me from myself. And with all that in mind, we should be able to go just like the psalmist wrote, "You are my portion, Lord. I've promised to obey your words. I have considered my ways and turned my steps to you. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me in ropes, I won't forget your laws. At midnight I rise to give you thanks, for you are righteous. And I am a friend to all who fear you and to all who follow your precepts. Because the Lord God is one." It is self-evident, and we have the most unique following and religion that mankind has ever seen. Countless attempts to stomp it out have failed. And although it looks like things are bad around us, and I give you that, we do look forward to the hope of the resurrection and being again with all those who have died in the faith, because our Lord is one. So, walk out of here today, and you can certainly remember God is one, but it's a unique God. And anyone who tells you otherwise is trying to sell you snake oil. Amen.